tell him to do it because I didn't want to, you know, put too much on him. And, I mean, of course, I had let the counselor know by email, but I had never talked to her. And, but she told those two people. And, yeah, so he kind of advocated for himself. I thought that was really great.
That is awesome. That is definitely something to celebrate. That's great. I'm sorry he had a panic attack, though, but oh my gosh, huge celebration.
I know, right? Great. So, yeah.
Yay.
Yeah. I was really proud of him.
Yeah, that's awesome. We've had a couple other people join us. Somebody from Gainesville, Florida. Or at least your phone number came from
Hello, that's me.
Hi, me. Who's this?
Oh, just a minute.
Okay.
My name is Carrie.
Hey, Carrie.
I'm new to the program. Hi.
Welcome. Welcome.
I'm all right. I'm excited about what I'm going to hear tonight, but I'm also at a place where most of you probably can relate the beginning, which is the bottom. And really, really difficult times right now. So I'm just going to probably listen see what everybody has to say because I've had a week with my kids. So.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is there anything in there that you can celebrate?
There is. I had to pull my daughter from basketball yesterday from basketball tryouts, and I was devastated. Of course, it hurt me 10 times more than it hurt her, and I was devastated, and it just, it was such an ordeal because it was one more thing, and we're going to have a consequence, and that was the last straw. So I had to do it, and then she, but last night she sat next to me, and she just turned and laid on me, and we haven't really had that touch in a long time because I've been so up in arms with her, and she said, "I'm sorry. I'm so sorry."
Aww.
And I said, "I'm sorry. I love you very much. You know that. And we're a lot alike, and I'm going to get help, and I'm going to help you through." And she said, "I love you too. You know that, right?" So it's just been a really, really rough couple of weeks, and we haven't been very, very physical. And usually she's sitting on my lap, and just, you know, we're very close, but it's been a hard couple of weeks.
How
so
old
that
is
was
she
great,
again?
She's 12. She's 12.
12. Yeah. Yeah. So. Yeah, that's hard. I miss those times too. You just brought tears to my eyes. As they get older, it's you lose that physical connection a little bit, and it's nice to to get it when we can get it. Right.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
That is a celebration. Yeah. Thanks, Carrie.
Yeah. It was great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Who is with us from Oregon?
Hi, that's me. Sorry.
Hi, me. Who's this?
Jennifer. I'm new to the program as well, and I'm just celebrating making a call for once. All the other calls are
Yay!
When I'm working.
Oh, good. I'm sorry about that, but I'm glad that you're here.
me too. So I'm probably going to go on mute for a bit, but I'll be back.
Okay, hey, do you have time to tell us real quick where you are located in the world and the ages of your children that brought you to us?
Portland, Oregon, and I have one, and he's 8.
And he's 8. Okay, awesome. Thanks so much. So just really quickly for our new folks, this is typically an interactive call. Totally get it, though. There are plenty of times where you've got a lot going on, particularly on the evening calls. I know sometimes we try to dial in from home, and for whatever reason, our children seem to want our attention when we're at home and they can see us. So totally get it if you have to put yourself on mute. No big deal. But when you can, you know, do join in, and we always check in at the beginning of the call and check out at the end. So if for whatever reason you're on the call and you can't unmute yourself to say hi or whatever, try to send me a quick email or something just so I know who's there. And then after we check in, we do what we call taking aim. We go around and we take aim. We get really specific about what we want to focus on or think about through the course of the call. And the taking aim part, you know, it can change. And then we'll talk a little bit more about that later. But really the purpose of it is to help you select an area that's been a challenge in your life or your kid's life in the past 24 hours or in the past several months. It can be a macro issue or a micro issue, but it's just so that you can get really, really specific and just focus on one thing, because we have to start small so we can have small successes before we move on to the big things. And then after we take aim, we'll typically talk a little bit about whatever the topic is for the week. I don't like to talk a whole lot, so I usually talk for about 5 or 10 minutes. If I talk more than 10 minutes, then it just gets really boring for everybody, including me. And so after that, we'll go around and have a lively conversation about ways that the teaching either impacts our life or, you know, stories that for whatever reason have come up while we're talking about it, things that are going on in your own lives. And then we go back around if we have time and do some laser coaching. And then we do a quick checkout. And at the end of the call, we ask the same 4 questions every time. And they're the 4 questions that are at the end of every chapter in the workbook. And I'll read them to you when we get there. But the purpose of the checkout is so that we can all kind of process and think about what we heard, and then share any ahas that we may have. And you don't have to have an aha. It's totally fine if you don't. But if you do, it's always cool to hear it. I mean, we hear a million times that one of the best things about these calls is the fact that you get to hear from other parents who are going through the same things that you're going through, and you know that you're not alone, and you know that your normal or other people's normal is also your normal, and that there is a normal. So love it when people share. I love for these calls to be really interactive, and so don't hesitate to jump in. That said, if you are in a place where there's a lot of noise around you, please mute yourself so that we don't get distracted. All right, so cool. So we're going to go back around now and take AIM. Like I said, taking AIM is the part where we get really specific. If you have looked at the workbook or gone through the PSS orientation video, then you know that you can take AIM on one of the areas where ADHD impacts your life. And, you know, it's like it's emotions, it's school, it's home, it's organization, all kinds of, there's really like 6 prominent areas, but it can be absolutely anything. So I'm going to ask Tammy to go. Tammy, I don't want to put you on the spot, but is it okay if you go first? Since you've been through this process before. And oh, you can say goodness. No.
Sure, let's see. It's been a really hard, I mean, for me, it's been a really hard couple of weeks. With just lots of things that I never saw coming. But that's okay because so I am just going to take AIM at this kind of starting some things over again with him.
New beginnings.
New beginnings, yeah, and try to start spending some more time with him again. Because he's gotten older now, he's almost 13. So he was trying to hang out with some friends, and it just has not worked out. And we've tried it a few times. So we're just going to try and – I just want to try and kind of start over with him again and, you know, try hanging out a little bit more with him myself.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. Yeah, I think that'll
– So personal that'll connection work. And maybe
yeah. –
Okay, awesome. Thanks. Who wants to go next?
I can go next if you like.
Please, that'd be great.
Yep. So the thing that my son, I think, wants to take AIM on at the moment is doing homework. And because he's in grade 6 and goes to high school next year, in year 7, and it's the last term of school, the teachers are trying to help them get ready for the level of homeworks and things that they're going to need. And he's kind of hardly done any homework at all, apart from his spelling homework. He's got really quite severe dyslexia and as well as attention difficulties and anxiety stuff. And so he just is exhausted at the end of the day. So I'm kind of negotiating for him to have very little homework. But his teacher's suggesting that it would be good for him to really try and do more homework. So, and he's kind of taking that on board and wants to try and do it. And last weekend he probably had about a 3-hour straight, really intensive attempt to do some homework, which was quite astonishing. David and I were amazed by how full on he was. But he didn't actually, he had to do a timeline of Nelson Mandela's life, and then he was supposed to write a biography of him, which is a pretty hard task, I think. But he spent the whole time doing this research and working out the timeline and getting really finicky about the measurements of the timeline So there's something happened in 1925. It was exactly at the right spot on the on his measured line. And anyway, so he ended up spending a lot of time doing stuff but didn't complete the whole task. And it was amazing that he did it at all. And then he came home. His teacher gave him positive feedback, but also that he had told him that he hadn't done all the work. So he remembers the negative thing and came home and was disappointed in himself for not having done what he was supposed to have done. So my, now I'm being very long-winded, but my aim is to just kind of help him to maintain that energy around doing his homework and actually start and then do it in an efficient way somehow, if that makes any sense.
Yes. So we're taking aim on homework and some executive function challenges around homework, it sounds like.
Yes, that's a good way of putting it. Yep.
So is the goal, so if we're taking aim on the change that we want to see, I'm just going to challenge you just a little bit. Is the goal to get the homework completed, or is the goal to come up with a plan or a process to work through the homework?
Probably, like he hasn't actually been doing, being motivated to even start doing the homework very often at all. So maybe it's about, he's motivated to do it, but then he just doesn't actually do it. And I haven't wanted to create stress between us about it. So I've left that with his teacher to kind of, so what is my goal? I think that the goal is that he would, it's probably about his setting himself up to do it in small bites. So it's that, just getting started with it more than completing it. I don't really mind if he doesn't complete it. I just want him to spend a bit of time doing it.
Yeah. Okay, good. No, sometimes we have to celebrate the process, right? You know, and sometimes it's not about, you know, the success is in having a process or having a system in place that, that is going to help him either get going or, you know, get through whatever it is. Not necessarily
just the
next step, but
I think for us at the moment, it's just getting going, having a system that will help him to just get going with it. And then and then see how much he gets done. It's not such a big deal.
Yeah. Perfect. Awesome. Thanks.
Thank
Carrie, you want to go?
Sure. Can you hear me?
Taking aim. Yeah.
And you? Okay. I'm going to have to revert back to this basketball thing. I actually had posted it on Impact ADHD Online because it's a very huge point of contention, and it really revolves around behavior. It has to do with behavior. And mind you, I have not been the most consistent parent. I'm not the most consistent parent. I'm not even near. And my ex-husband had a really hard divorce, so Mia is my 12-year-old daughter, and she's been through a lot. So in the last 2 weeks, these are the things she's done. She's tried smoking with my nephews up outside, and then she lied to my husband about it, so she got in trouble. Mm-hmm. She has a D on her report card, and the only thing she had to do was bring it up from a 64, you know, up to a 70 at least, you know, just by reading an AR book. And we reminded and reminded and reminded and reminded, and she did not do it. I went to talk to the principal at her school, and she was sitting out in the lobby, and she left with a boy to walk to the Jiffy store down the street without me knowing.
All right, I'm going to stop you right there.
And so, go ahead.
I'm going to stop you right there. What I want you to do is just pick one, because those are a lot of things, and there are a lot of big things. And I can just hear the stress and the anxiety in your voice. But we're just going to pick one.
Well,
just
see,
one to focus on right
up
now.
To the basketball. It leads up to basketball. Because it was like, that was her ending. That was the last straw. And I didn't want to take it from her, but all those things had happened. And my husband is saying, how can you let her try out? Because she's done all these things. She needs the consequences. She's been taken from her electronics for a long time now because of her grades. And and I said, well, I just can't bear to take basketball. I think that she needs it with her ADHD. She needs it. She needs that outlet. So yesterday I took her to school. She forgot her medicine, so I had to drive over to her school to pick her to give her medicine. I walked in the office, and I said, "I need to give me her medicine." And the desk clerk turns around and points. She's getting with the dean yesterday, not even 5 minutes into school, because she had throwing food in the cafeteria. So I had to say, "Okay, basketball's it." I had to stick with my.
So basketball is the consequence, right? But what is the change that you want to see? So you want to pick one specific change. That you want to see is one specific behavior or one something that you want to be different. And so basketball, like I said, that's the consequence. But what behavior needs to change, or what thing, what area do you want to focus on?
Her, well, actually, honestly, her attitude and respect towards authority.
Okay.
Or minding what people say, because she won't, she absolutely doesn't.
So is it follow through, or is it tone of voice? Is it attitude?
Maybe attitude, probably attitude.
Okay. So we're going to come back to that. Okay,
know.
Good. And you can, I mean, you don't have to, we're not going to hold you to it. Like, you know, if 10 minutes from now you're like, I'm going to change. It's not really attitude, it's this. That's totally fine. And, you know, 2 weeks from now, if you pick something completely different, that's totally fine too. But the whole purpose of the Taking AIM exercise is to just get focused a little bit for the course of this call. And you'll just be amazed at the things that come out, or maybe you'll hear something from someone else that is an aha for you, and you'll go, oh, no, that's what I want to take aim on. But we're not going to hold you accountable for what you took aim on.
I didn't mean to talk about a bunch of stuff. I thought, I'm sorry.
Oh, no. That's what we do. No, totally.
Okay.
No, that's
okay.
Totally. It's not the fact that you were talking about a bunch of stuff. It's just that we only have an hour. And,
yeah. Yes, I know.
Yeah. But no, I mean, we've all been there. You know, I think we can all empathize and sympathize, because we've all had our kids get to that crisis point, and we've all felt like we're at crisis points too. But just for the exercise of taking aim, I just wanted to, encourage you to kind of distill it down to just one thing, just for the purpose of the call.
Okay.
And we can absolutely
okay.
talk about all those other things later, if that's okay.
Sure.
Cool. All right, one more.
I'll go. So Jennifer
okay.
from Portland. What I would like to take aim at this week is understanding how to teach my 8-year-old son how to reset his mind when it shuts down because he's intimidated by something. Today he was completely intimidated by math work at school, and as we all know, the ADHD brain just sort of shuts down when it's really uncomfortable. And
yeah.
So I'm just looking for any kind of a reset exercise that an 8-year-old could learn to hopefully lift that brain lockdown.
Okay.
I just changed my mind.
Go for it.
I changed my mind. It's very, very quick, because she just sparked something in me right away. The fact that trying to get my daughter to realize that the medicine does not, she should, it does not take behavior away. She has to do some thinking and on her own. Because when I walked in, she's like, thank you, you brought my medicine, because she thinks, I did it because I didn't have my medicine. So I really need to take aim at her not relying on the medicine for, you know, positive behavior. There's got to be something that she knows better than. Do you understand that? Is that?
Yeah. So, I mean, the change that you want to see is her understanding that she has to put effort into this, that just taking her medicine is not going to get the job done. It's
right,
just
exactly.
going to help her.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah. All right. That works. Perfect. Awesome. So Jennifer, just real quickly, in terms of a reset, does that mean that he's going to be able to, you know, start again or get focused again on whatever the assignment is, or what does the reset look like?
Hopefully, yeah, to be able to engage. He has a lot of anxiety. If you want to talk crisis point, I was totally at a crisis point this time last year because he was literally given up on and kicked out of a Catholic school. Who advertised itself as special needs friendly.
Wow.
They gave up my son completely and utterly and then kicked him out in second grade, 90 days in.
Ouch.
So,
ugh.
God, do I feel
that
pain.
That must have hurt.
But, yeah. So
yeah.
Ever since then, when he is intimidated by something academically, he just completely shuts down.
Which makes
and
sense.
You can't push him or he shuts down even more. And that's when the behavior kicks in for him. So, being able to reset and then start over would be awesome.
So let me ask you just real quickly. Is it realistic to expect him to be able to reset right now? And I don't know, is he in a place developmentally or, you know, processing all the stuff that happened last year? Is it realistic to expect him to be able to reset quickly?
I'm not sure about how quickly. I mean, that's Yeah, that's a good question. I'm not sure. I'm looking for like kind of almost like a coping skill, I guess, to help him with, so that we can just start to establish this as a habit in the hope that sometime in the future he'll be
Got
able
it.
To read that and try again. He has
Got it.
Made huge strides in the past year. He's in a Waldorf school in a much smaller cohort. There were 9 kids in his class. It's a combination 3rd, 4th grade class. He's in 3rd grade. So we've made a fundamental shift in his academic environment, which has helped amazingly. He's functioning at the top like 97% of his class now, which is great. But he still has that anxiety that causes him to freeze up when he gets intimidated.
Gotcha. And that makes perfect sense, right? So it sounds like it's almost
totally
about finding a different, just a different, giving him some more tools.
Right.
So that shutdown or complete flooding isn't the only option he has.
Exactly.
Is that right? Okay.
Yes.
Cool.
And he's come a long way because it used to be when he would get flooded, the behavior would start immediately. And now he just, instead of acting out and becoming problematic, he will just simply say, no, I can't do that.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think that's huge.
It's massive, but it's still counterproductive.
But it doesn't solve the problem.
Yeah, it's still counterproductive for him. So.
Right. But it, I mean,
but you're right.
I totally get, yeah, go ahead. Sorry. Sorry, did you finish your thought? I'm sorry. Uh-oh. Are you there? Oh. All right, we're getting some background noise.
Sorry, it's me. It's the car. I'm turning myself off.
Okay. Thank you. Jennifer, did you finish your thought?
Oh, yeah. So basically, that's it. It's been absolutely huge. It's been a really big, humongous leap forward. But like I said, I feel like it's still counterproductive to his, you know, well-being in the future. So I figure if we can help him establish the habit now, it'll stop in the future.
Right. No good. Okay, I got it. Perfect. Carolyn, is that you? All right.
Yes, I am, and I'm sorry.
Hi,
I didn't come in muted.
That's totally fine. We're taking aim. Do you want to take aim real quick?
Oh my Lord. Yeah, I tried to. I had wanted to work on calendar, being focused on calendar and time awareness, and I found out. Like that's way too hard.
Okay.
And so, so what I'm working, I kind of modified to just say, well, let me pay attention or ask to be paid attention to when something important is going on. I don't know. It's like. I wish I could think of something really exciting, but
no. So you're taking aims on more about organization. I just want to make sure I'm understanding.
Well, I kind of went more towards mindfulness. In other words, if you can't organize a big bunch of moments, then can we just have a moment? But it'd be a good one. And so I did ask, I know that sounds really bizarre, but it's getting people to attend to one another, but also asking for me to be attended to. But it was like the calendar thing is just so far beyond what anybody can do. My husband or my daughter.
So I'm just going to stop you there because I want to make sure that we're respectful of everyone else's time. So in terms of taking aim, is it about the calendar or is it about you?
I have plenty to work on my own calendar.
Gotcha.
I thought that I had taken over on everybody's calendar and thus just kept everybody, that it was like I just kind of squelched their calendarness. And then when I stopped doing it, nothing happened. And then when I started asking about it, it was like deer in the headlights kind of thing. Like, we have no idea. We don't know what you did. So it was like, where do you go from here? So for me, it's more put the expectation down lower, and I guess, meet people where they are.
Okay, so we're going to go ahead and move into the topic for today, and that is activating the brain. And I love activating the brain because there's so many different ways to do it, and there's so many ways to do it that we don't even realize are ways that we're utilizing to activate our brains. One of the things that we need to remember about ADHD is that it's a brain-based disorder, right? So anytime we're trying to find a system or a structure or something to put in place to help our kids or ourselves be successful, the first thing we have to do is activate the brain, because as we know, the ADHD brain does not have a just get it done button. We have to have some reason to get excited or to get engaged, and if it's not there, we just can't do it. Activating the brain, there's a lot of systems and structures that we use, like I said, to activate the brain. Medication is a way to activate the brain. Exercise is a way to activate the brain. Sleep, mindfulness, meditation, diet, water. There's all kinds of things that we use to help our brains try to find some kind of balance or be activated. The basic stuff is, this is stuff that you guys probably know already, right? You know, if you're getting enough sleep, if you're eating right, if you're exercising, if you're taking medication or whatever it is you do to mitigate the symptoms of ADHD, those are ways that you activate the brain. So when we're thinking about activating the brain, Hello?
Oh, that was weird.
Oh my gosh, that was so weird. Did I just disappear?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. I'm not sure what happened. I was saying some really amazing stuff, let me tell you. it's pretty much essentially what's in the workbook, but we're talking about activating the brain. And why it's important. Our kids have challenges with executive function and impulse control and mood regulation, right? And so we want to make sure that we're using activation to optimize brain function so that we can manage things better, so our kids can do better in school, to help, regulate their moods. It could be serotonin, dopamine, kind of whatever that balance is. If we can figure out what missing or what piece we need to activate some kind of balance, then we can really help our kids be a little more steady throughout the day. And then also, counteracting some of those neurobiological challenges and changes that come with ADHD, figuring out ways to regulate energy and attention. So this is it's a big challenge, right? I mean, getting out of bed is an activation. You have to take some action to get out of bed, right? And so if our kids are having trouble getting started, that's an activation challenge area. And so when we're thinking about ways to get our kids engaged and activate the brain, we, again, just like when we take aim, we want to think about the problem that we're trying to solve. If your kid is melting down after school every day, and these are some of the basic ones that I'm sure you guys have all thought about before, does he need a protein-based snack? Does he need some exercise? Does he need, something else, a 30-minute nap? What is needed to help your child activate his or her brain to do the next thing or to get engaged in homework or basketball or whatever it is? And so that it's a challenge. You know, like I said, as adults, we probably have come up with a lot of coping mechanisms in our lives to make sure we have ways to activate our brains without even realizing it. You know, again, exercise, diet, medication, sleep. But for our kids, we have to become that detective and figure out what it is they need to be activated. And so as we're talking about this, what's coming up for you guys? What have you seen with your kids? What has worked with your kids? Just jump in if something stands out.
I feel like sleep is huge for my guy, because if he doesn't get a good night's sleep, it is just not going to be a good day. It doesn't matter.
Yeah. That's huge. And 90% of people with ADHD have sleep challenges. So it's like one of the very first things that we should probably look at. Most of our kids don't sleep well. They may look like they are, but 9 times out of 10, they're not. What else?
Routine is a really big one for my kid, my boy. Hello?
Routines activate him.
Are you back?
How does that work?
Hello?
Sorry, sis. Are you there?
Oh, yep. I'm here now. Yep.
Okay.
I just lost it for a second.
How does that work? I'm just curious. How does the routine activate? Yeah.
Oh, because if we're if we're out of a routine, he completely shuts down. It just there's no activation at all. We have
gotcha.
To be in a routine. Yeah, and that's fairly a new thing. So that really, but yeah, he has to be in a routine.
Mhm.
Yeah, and even if he goes to bed late, then the next morning is just kind of a little off. And it takes longer to get the morning kind of going and get him set, you know, in a good way for school. So he has to be in bed by a certain time for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
So knowing what to expect next,
yep.
Having a structure.
That's huge. Yeah,
yeah,
huge for him. Yeah.
Awesome. Good. My son needs medication.
Oh, my.
Medication. But I have another one that needs exercise. You know, when he comes home, he just needs to run around the house like, you know, 15 times before he can do anything. You know, my daughter needs a nap after school. She comes home and she collapses for 30 minutes and then she gets up and she's ready to go, but she just needs that time to recharge. So it's different for everybody.
Can I ask a question?
What are some other... Yeah, of course.
I'm interested because when my son gets home from school, he'll have something to eat, and he's often really, I think, just really, really exhausted from the day at school. Mm-hmm. And what he wants to do is just sit and watch stuff on YouTube or he actually really likes looking at stuff. Goes through phases of different things, like watching a series of sitcoms or something like that. And he just gets hooked into a story, or he had a phase where he really liked watching other people playing video games. Is it YouTube clips?
Yeah.
And watch somebody else talking. And I thought, what has he
done? I'm fascinated by that, but go ahead. My son does that too.
And that seems to be like he says he needs to do it because he just needs to calm down, and he finds it a very helpful way for him to just relax. And so, but the thing that I find very difficult is that once he's kind of gone in there, into that space, it's really hard to get him to come out again and to get going with his homework or even like just the next thing. Like he'll often be really snarky when I say to him, like, that's enough, it's time to stop. And I do try and do systems, like I'll say, right, you've got 5 more minutes and then we're turning it off. And I mean, that often causes some sort of upset because he doesn't want to stop. So I don't know what's going on in his brain there, but he sometimes said things to me like he feels like he needs it to sort of relax. So I'm curious about whether that's activating the brain or deactivating or what. But, yeah, it's like what a hard one.
Well, I mean, I think it's pretty common, actually. I think it's a reset, right? And you know, the important thing is him being able to either, you know, reconnect or plug back in after he's had that chance to recharge his batteries. And so if you're having challenges around that, that's going to be the area to focus on, is what can we do to put a time limit on it? Or what can we do to make sure you move on to the next thing? Is there some other way for you to reset your brain or recharge your batteries right then, you know, so, to ensure that we get the rest of the stuff done that gets done? And I think there's always that part, you know, one of my sons says the same thing. He's like, the computer calms me down. I need 30 minutes to, you know, watch YouTube videos of other people playing video games so that I can focus on the next thing. And I'm like, really? But yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think when our kids are advocating for themselves and they recognize what they need, it's great if we can listen to that and honor that. But then there's that second piece, right? If we have a value around making sure their homework gets done, or, you know, a family rule or a household rule around whatever the next thing is, then we need to come up with some kind of a compromise. And it can be just as simple as having the conversation like you had, you know, a week or so again about what does that look like?
Yeah. So I think he knows that he gets hooked into it and then he finds it really hard to stop. And he might watch one episode of something, which is half an hour, and then he'll just start the next one, and then all of a sudden I haven't noticed, and it's another hour gone, and I'll say, right, turn off at the end of that, and then start the next one. Like, he'll just, even though we've agreed, right, that's when you're finishing, and then when I say no, you have to stop now, I've already let you watch longer than we agreed, then he'll go, but it's in the middle of something, and I just want to get
10 more minutes, still over. Yes.
Which then is exhausting, and you've got to decide, well, if the goal is to actually go and do some homework after this, he'll even say to me, Mum, oh, you ruined it now. I've been sitting here so that I'd calm down, and then you forced me to stop, and now I'm not calm enough anymore to do any homework. Oh, my goodness.
I can pretty much guarantee that exact same conversation has happened in probably all of our homes.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
So what do you, I mean, we can, let's play it through just a little bit. What do you think? What's a reasonable action step that you can take to help him activate his brain or to find a different way to engage?
Well, I was thinking about maybe, some people have said before about like putting timers on, like maybe on his phone, having a timer that we agree, like, or something that he could do that where he's intentional about what he actually wants, because he's got to be motivated. That's one thing I've been thinking about listening to one of your other sessions, something about motivation, how to get kids motivated to do what they want to do. So that's what I've been trying to think. What would be his motivation? And he really hates the rewards and the consequences thing. He just he doesn't like me treating him like a little baby with the rewards thing. So I don't need rewards. And he's very tuned into all of that, and he just wants to be able to do it. So yeah, he wants to be able to, like, in his good moments, he knows that that's what he does want to be able to do, the stuff that he plans to do. So, but he then kind of resists when I try and set things up like a reward or a consequence for not. So that's hard.
Well, so in your experience, has he ever been able to independently, without you reminding him or asking him to get off the computer, move away from whatever he's been doing on it and move on to the next thing?
Yeah, that would be rare. Unless there was something that he, like a friend turned up.
even at
dinner time, it's like he still doesn't want to stop. So it's rare for him to be able to do it on his own.
Gotcha. So knowing that it's probably not realistic to expect that he's going to be able to transition at a certain time, without you being there or without, you know, some sort of mirroring or reminder, external reminder, what is another, and you know, the answer might be that you just don't know yet, but it's something that is needs further exploration.
Yeah. I mean, I do think I could have a conversation with him about it when he's in a good frame of mind about what he, what I could offer him to help him do, if he's got an agreement that that's what he wants to do, what would motivate him to stop. The other thought I've had is just not starting in the first place. But,
yeah,
that's not an easy thing to put.
Yeah,
mean,
that's no, exactly.
Maybe we should do have afternoon tea, have a play something else, and then do homework, and then be allowed to watch the screen. But that requires me to be on the, like, I'd have to work, do a bit of work to try and change that routine, because he's so used to the other pattern.
Yeah.
Which obviously isn't
Sometimes that's what's needed, anyway.
So. Yeah, maybe that's a better idea. Because he does find it very difficult to stop once he's started. And, yeah, so then once we have trouble getting him to stop to have dinner, and then it's okay, as long as we just have a rule that we don't watch anything on screens after dinner. So, but then he just needs to get off to bed, and that all takes a fair bit of energy in itself.
Right.
Yeah.
We're just focusing on the one thing, though.
Yes, just the one thing. So it's about him choosing to go, right, I'm going to do. I mean, I could talk to him about, you know, maybe what days he's going to do homework. So maybe it's some days he's allowed to do his screen thing, and other days he chooses not to and does homework first, and then the screen thing is a reward. I tried to talk to him about what motivates him to.
Mm-hmm.
Do what he says he wants to do for himself. And that, I don't know that he's quite entirely sure. So perhaps I need to talk to him a bit more about that.
Yeah, yeah, it sounds like a
conversation. But he does get the idea of, I noticed that, I think that he's capable of understanding that he needs a motivation to do something when he's in the right frame of mind thinking about himself, like when he can step outside the moment. But that's not easy in the moment to... he needs the parent to come and say, hey, this is what we've agreed to here. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah.
So thanks for that.
Sure. You did all the work. I didn't say anything or do anything.
Well, that'd be a fun experiment. I was quite astonished by how much having a discussion with him about what he wanted for the mornings shifted it so massively. I think I'll just go with that again and say, right, now we're going to have a talk about what he, because I know he wants to, he is engaging with this idea of trying to get more of a rhythm for himself about his homework. So if he sets the plan, then I can support him in that. That would be good.
Ideally. Cool.
We'll see how we go.
What's coming up for everybody else? Anything jump out or any new ideas or suggestions? Okay, well, believe it or not, it's already 10 till. I can't believe we got here this quickly, but we did. So what we're going to do is practice our checkout. If we didn't get a chance to kind of work through your situation, try not to be frustrated. You can stay on the call and we can talk through it, or you can schedule a sanity session or post some more in the Lifeline, like you were saying, Carrie, and get some feedback and information from everybody else. But in terms of the checkout, these are the four questions that we ask at the end of every call and at the end of every chapter. And they're pretty straightforward. And it's, what is my aha or takeaway today? I may be doing these out of order. What did I focus on or pay most attention to today? And that can be pay most attention to during, you know, this call or actually today. What's a realistic action step for me to take? And that can be based on whatever you took aim on or just in general. Whatever comes up, what's realistic in terms of what you can do next? And then how can you set yourself up for success with this action? And I'll help you work through it if you get tied up anywhere along the line. I'd like to hear from everybody in the checkout. So whoever is ready to go first. I'll read the questions again. What did I focus on or pay most attention to today? What's my clarity or takeaway from today? What's a realistic action step for me to take? And how can I set myself up for success with this action?
I'll go ahead and go first. This is Carrie.
Go for it.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry. You're going to have to say it again. I'm sorry.
Sure, sure. No problem. What did you focus on or pay much attention to today? Yeah, we're good. No, perfect. What did you focus on or pay most attention to today?
I paid most attention to the fact that you made a comment that aha, it was kind of an aha, I guess. You made a comment about the ADHD brain. Activating it is different, I guess it's different than the normal brain because, you know, the brains just get up and they start going and moving. And so I was really paying attention when you were talking about that because I just come to the realization about a lot of things being, you know, I know it is a brain disorder. I know it's a disorder, but I thought for the longest time it was just a, you know, oh, it's hyperactivity, that's all. But I really realized now. Mm-hmm. So I was kind of trying to hone in on what you were saying about the brain for that one.
Great. So that's your kind of aha and what you paid the most attention to. Which is great. And then what's a realistic action step for you to take?
I think that the most realistic thing and necessary thing right now for me is to try to maintain consistency.
Okay.
In what I say and what I do, because I have to model it before I expect it. And I don't expect it 100%, but I really do need to, I think that, you know, I need to stick to my guns so that there is some structure and there is some knowledge that, you know, their mom means business or mom's got this line, I can't cross this line or that line, you know, and it's, what?
No, nothing, go ahead.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's all.
Well, so let's think about in terms of setting yourself up for success with being consistent. What do you need to be successful with that?
I don't know how to answer that because I've never in my life been consistent. I just don't know. I really haven't followed through or been consistent with anything. I was just today diagnosed with ADHD at the doctor today.
Yay! And, awesome. Welcome to the world. Yay!
So I don't know. I don't know. I'm just lost in it.
So that's good. So it's not realistic right now, right? It's probably not a realistic thing for you or a realistic goal right now. And that's totally okay. You know, it's very difficult to be consistent, even, you know, within the course of a 24-hour period, let alone, you know, over the course of a week or a lifetime. So that's not probably the best, you know, the most realistic action step for you right now. You were just diagnosed yourself. Would a realistic action step be maybe learning some more about how ADHD manifests in your life?
Yes. Yes.
Or just learning more about it in general.
You're right. Yes. I think, yes, absolutely. That's what I need to do. I haven't read on it. I haven't researched it. I haven't done anything. I'm brand new, and
I'm going to send you my favorite book. I'll post it in the Lifeline. Understanding Girls and Women with ADHD by Kathleen Nadeau and Patricia Quinn. It's fabulous. And I guarantee you'll read it and be like, oh, my God, that's me. It's eye-opening. Okay. And so setting yourself up for success with this, you know, with learning more, with this kind of journey of education, what do you need to be successful there?
What do I need to be successful?
Just in terms of, you know, is it buying a book? Is it doing research online? Is it?
It is. It's making the time. It's making the time to sit down and actually research because, you know, the days, they're busy, busy, busy right till the end. And I have to find time because it's really important to me right now. This is at the forefront of my, you know, of my life right now. And I really need to know more. Mm-hmm. And I need to, you know, in order to make any kind of strides or steps, I'm kind of expecting it to get fixed overnight. Oh, I signed up for Impact ADHD. Okay, now we're better.
Yeah.
You know, but
darn it.
But it's like all the other programs. You know, you've got to put your time and energy in, and so
time takes time. Yep. Awesome. You've got
so that's
you.
It. Yep.
Okay. Awesome. Great job, Carrie. That's really really powerful. Thank you.
Thanks.
Who wants to check out next?
I
I need to actually hang up because I've got a meeting to go to for work. Cause it's
okay, bye.
The middle of the day for me. So thanks very much, everybody. And I'll
thanks for participating.
You again in a couple of weeks' time. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Yep, have a great week. Bye. Tammy, are you still there?
Yep.
You want to check out?
Sure. I'm just going to go with my what I took aim on and just, I guess my aha again was just to realize that I just need to take another step back and just spend some more time with him, like we used to. And I was trying to give him some space, but I gave him a little and it was kind of too much, I think. Or things changed anyway. Something.
And it's hard,
but anyway.
Right? It's hard to know how much to pull back. You know, we think they're ready for something and we you know, that's the gig.
He was so ready for it. I just think his whole self wasn't all ready for it. But anyway, I'll just pull back a little bit and definitely, you know, rearrange some things and spend some more time again with him. I think that's great. And the other thing is, and this is, oh, this doesn't sound corny, but I wasn't going to call tonight because I was just feeling, you know, not defeated, but, you know, down because it's been a rough couple of weeks, you know. And
yeah.
I'm so glad I called. I just was so glad I called.
Okay.
It was just so, well, it was just nice to hear everybody, and it was really great to hear the girl who went right before me, Carrie. It was just great to hear. Yeah, it was just great to hear her, you know, starting out and everything she's going to do for herself and that kind of. It was just neat to hear that. So, anyway,
that's
my thing. Yeah.
Isn't that funny how the universe works? I'm so glad you were here too. We're always all where we're supposed to be when we're supposed to be there, you know, and I just think I love it.
Yeah.
You guys are awesome.
So anyway.
Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Yay. Oh, big hug through the phone.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. Hang in there.
Definitely, you know.
Yeah, I say it all the time. Our parents are absolutely amazing, and you guys are. If you ever doubt for a second that you're not a good parent and that you're not doing everything you possibly can for your child, please let me know if you're thinking that way, because I assure you, this is a hard job, and the good parents are the ones who sign up for programs like this and who are doing the research and doing everything they can to provide for their children in the best way possible, even if it means changing everything about themselves and the way that they parent, and that's you guys. It's a hard, hard gig, and you're doing an amazing, amazing job. So please give yourself a high five, celebrate, do whatever, but just know that you are doing an incredible job. Carolyn, you want to go?
Thanks.
I feel bad. I kind of cut you off, and we hardly got to talk to you.
What? No, believe me, I have been talking all day, and the reason why I was late was because I do choir for Christmas, and so they started their Christmas rehearsal, so I'm happy.
Oh my
happy,
gosh,
you know. And I'm listening, and I'm so not alone. I just think, like, to be able to say my husband, who is 62, can't do a calendar, and I'm turning over the family manager job over to him to help raise our children. And anyway, so I just, you know, I the best thing that I have been doing is in terms of activating my own brain. And what's interesting is the healthier that I'm getting, the more it's not my fault that I forgot something or that I miscued, you know, or, you know, didn't take the cues and things like that. And what's interesting to me is, I'm a slow processor. Nope, I don't understand. Mm-hmm. You know, and it just,
it's just not arguing on things. And like, no, mm-hmm. I just need some time to myself and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It's just. But we've had huge crises, and so. But I think in terms of activating my own brain and saying, well, my brain wouldn't be able to do any of this right now, and like shut up when my brain is not activated. You know what I mean? Because I'll say too much. It won't make any sense. I mean, it's not mm-hmm. worth the effort to have to clean up after myself, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, but even then is to say the connection is important.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't explain it, you know, but it's like saying, all right, I can't do anything really brilliant here, but do you want to sit together?
If that's the brilliance? What if that is the most incredible thing you can do in that moment?
Well, and I was just going to say, that's what I was saying about the calendar. It's like, mm-hmm. well, let's not even go there. I can't teach what I can barely do. But what I think is different is really, I don't know, is not being so rigid and structured about it because I'm terrified of being out of control, or I thrive on routine and things mm-hmm. are not routine, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And
things are going to be inconsistent and it's hard.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But
that was perfect.
So, you know, I think just being able to say, well, calendars are made up of moments, and I get to choose how many good ones I have.
Yeah.
And then maybe someday we'll be learning, there'll be some way of learning calendars, because some teacher's going to show up or some experience is going to happen that my husband and my daughter are going to need it. And at that point, it'll happen.
Mm-hmm. I think that's beautiful.
So it's all good. It's crazy.
Thank you.
But it
is crazy, but it's all good, right? Jennifer, you ready to check out? Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Go.
Sorry. Go, Jennifer. You want me to read the questions again?
Yeah.
Okay. What did you focus on or pay the most attention to today?
Honestly, the fact that this all sounds incredibly familiar.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really validating to hear that other people on the other side of the planet are having the exact same discussion with their child as I'm having with mine every evening. that was great.
Yay! That's awesome. Isn't that hilarious? Was that your aha also, I bet?
Yeah, that was my aha as well. I mean, you know, I do a lot of reading, and so I know that that's not just what I'm experiencing, but it's a whole other level when you actually hear it from other people mm-hmm. in a forum like this. So it's
yeah.
very, very validating. So
good. Love it. Okay, so what's going to be a realistic action step for you to take then over the next couple weeks?
I think a realistic action step is just going to be to try to figure out a way to help kiddo activate his brain when he's having trouble. I might just post that on the lifeline too and see if anybody else has any good ideas.
Oh, I think that's great. And so is there anything
so
special that you need to be successful with that? Sorry.
Just to follow through.
Okay. Well, what do you need to follow through?
Just to make the time to do it.
Okay. Are you the type of person that has to put it on the calendar, or you just do it, or is it helpful for us to hold you accountable? We typically don't, but we can if you want us to.
Oh, I'm a project manager, so I'm addicted to calendars.
Oh, sweet. Awesome. Fabulous. All right, cool. So you're good to go.
Yeah, exactly.
Great. Is that everybody? Did we miss anyone? welcome, guys. So if you have any questions, typically, like I said, we usually end at the top of the hour, so we ran a little bit long tonight. I apologize. I just wanted to make sure we got to hear from everybody. Always send us an email or tag us or post something in the forum or sign up for a sanity session if you need just a few more minutes to discuss stuff. We're always here for you. Have a great couple of weeks, and we'll talk soon. Take care.
Thanks.
Night, Jeremy.
The moderator has left the conference.